The exhibit 2020 Vision, Seeing Her Story, opened on January 25th. It runs through April the 26th. And we have with us Katie Miller and Josh Holliday from the Midland Center for the Arts and Jennifer Verrett, the curator of the exhibit. Good morning, good morning, good morning, or opposite way for those that are watching their radios at home. Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
Happy to have you all here. And for braving a little bit of the conditions to get across from Midland to join us in studios today. This is not that it's a game show, but we'll call it kind of a toss-up question. Whoever would like to sort of where the impetus came for the exhibit. I know it's tied in somewhat, obviously, and centered around at least an inspiration of the 100 years since the 19th Amendment, but the genesis of the idea and how it began to come together and bringing Jennifer in to curate this. Who would like to?
Oh, okay, we're pointing at me. hi, I'm Jennifer. I'm part of the Midland County Historical Society, which is under the umbrella of the Midland Center for the Arts. And our advisory council had a discussion about maybe the time was ripe to visit a large-scale exhibit about women and women's history. And with the 100th anniversary of the 19th Amendment, it just made sense to use that as a touch point to spring from. So we used that as the beginning of our timeline, but we talk about suffrage and the lead up to suffrage. But then we wanted to expand much beyond that. So we talk about many different themes related to women contributions and leadership within the last 100 years of history with a local tie-in. So there are many even present day Midland women as part of our exhibit.
I would guess, and we're not here necessarily to blow the horn for other organizations, though we don't mind promoting them as well, but I would think, Katie and Josh, this is probably a pretty common theme that this landmark has led or lent itself to inspiring many exhibits at a lot of area organizations or even nationwide. Was it something that you were both looking forward to having something that could mark the occasion and have an exhibit that would be centered on a theme like this?
I think with the 100th anniversary Jennifer was talking about, it was something that was on my radar, but really the genesis of the 2020 Vision exhibit is what inspired the rest of the programming that's happening at the Center for the Arts right now. So along with Jennifer's exhibit that she beautifully curated and the rest of the Historical Society Committee curated, we have another exhibit called Redefining Representation, the Women of the 116th Congress, which is an incredible photography exhibit, which is kind of a sister exhibit with the 2020 Vision. And then as part of our larger perspective series, which is a series that really brings together community partners for conversation through art and storytelling and the performing arts, and looking at, you know, different community topics, we were talking about women in STEM fields. We're having a Women's STEM Night tomorrow night at the center, February 11th. We're going to be having a lecture with Elizabeth Herman, one of the photographers, for the Redefining Representation exhibit on February 19th. We're doing women's storytelling. We've examined women in civil rights, women in music throughout the course of the last year. So really, that was the touch point and really the inspiration for a lot of different programming that we're doing in this vein at the center. But looking at what other people are doing around the nation, it's a conversation that it starts kind of with this landmark, but has also expanded to recognize that 100 years ago, it was only a segment of women that were given the right to vote. And minorities and underrepresented populations, women weren't given the right to vote until later in history. So there's been a lot of conversation recognition around that point, too, which I think is really important. And the 2020 Vision exhibit touches upon that and expands upon that idea and how women's rights haven't really come just at one time. They've been doled out kind of throughout the last 100 years. And that's a really interesting conversation for women today to be taking part in and learning more about. So I'm very excited that we are able to kind of bring this conversation to the Great Lakes Bay region.
Bringing that conversation then, Josh, as you market and promote this, I say without hesitation, I'm the elder statesman here among the four of us, and so it does not surprise me at all. But as you start looking at just the wider range of a target market where you're trying to attract people in to come and see the exhibit, how much recognition is there of a point like this in history, or that would inspire a theme in an exhibit like this? What is how is it resonating with people in terms of their sense of awareness and time in place as to where this exhibit comes to capture that, and also not only retell that story, but perhaps bring that story forward to the present time and moving forward?
Yeah, I think for us at the center, we're finding that this exhibit is something that is really appealing to many audiences and people of all ages, and that what is so special about this exhibit is how it is celebrating the women in history that have brought influence and advocacy to the table to bring forth the rights of women, but then also it's of the women tomorrow. So those that are here in the Great Lakes Bay region that are making an impact and are leaders in developing this conversation and in their craft. And so what's really special is that this exhibit is celebrating history, but then also the makers and shakers of today and those of tomorrow and that we're going to be seeing. And what I think is special, to add on to what Katie mentioned, is that all of these elements and portions of the exhibit are coming together around this conversation, but there's so many different ways in which you can engage. And the programs are developed so that way they appeal to people of all ages. So the 2020 vision and the redefining representation are great for people of all ages, and that you can come and experience the exhibit. There's different activities throughout. There's some really cool typewriters outside the 2020 vision, which I know Jennifer would probably love to tell you about more, but it allows you to interact with it and tell your portion of the story. And then, you know, we'll be bringing in the photographer from the Redefining Representation to talk about art forms, particularly portraiture, which has traditionally been a male art form, and what was her inspiration behind that? And getting young people that are energized about talking about the conversation of how do we bring forward and put more women in office. She's going to talk a little bit about her her inspiration behind that portion of the exhibit. And then we'll also be having storytelling later this spring, so women can actually tell their stories. And storytelling is huge for people of more of a millennial, young professional audience. So it's great for everybody. But it really is something that gets younger people excited to come to the museum, experience, and participate as part of these programs.
Does it get to folks that are maybe looking at the politics or the people that are making news of the time? And I again, I hearken back a little bit to even, you know, the Academy Awards, and we had was it the last year or something where it was too male, too white, whatever the catchphrase was, when we were seeing an underrepresentation of female artists in terms of that. And we've seen some of that taking place in some of the other awards ceremonies. The Grammys come to mind, too, that people can relate a modern perspective of this to what is really happening today, because they see that where maybe progress has been made, some of these issues and struggles and conflicts are still a part of society. And so you can take something that seems very remote 100 years ago and realize that there are elements of that still at work today.
Absolutely. We wanted to make sure that that was part of the exhibit, that we were carrying that story forward and helping people to make connections. I think one of the ways that surprised people a lot was in our suffrage section. We talk about the 1913 National Suffrage Parade led by Alice Paul in Washington, D.C., and it was designed to upstage Woodrow Wilson's inauguration because he wasn't supporting the right to vote for women. And so they took that opportunity to organize a large-scale demonstration to draw attention to their demand for full rights. And then you carry that forward into another section of the exhibit that deals with, it's called Voices Raised and Women Who Led Protest and Social Movements. And there we talk about the Women's March of 2017, which also upstaged a presidential inauguration. And so that march was the largest single day demonstration in U.S. history. More people turned out to march in D.C. and the sister marches across the country than are in the combined armed forces. So it's a huge, important moment in women's history, but we also can help help the visitor see connections from the past to the present and how some of these same issues are still part of our conversation.
Jennifer Vernette is the curator of 2020 Vision, Seeing Her Story, now on exhibit at Midland Center for the Arts through April the 26th, midlandcenter.org for all of the information. Katie Miller does the work in the outreach area, and Josh Holliday, newer to the Midland Center in the last half year or so, handles public relations and marketing for Midland Center. And so I ask you again, Katie, in terms of the outreach, there are going to be younger girls that are going to be inspired by this. There are certainly going to be older women who remember more of the timeline of the history. How can this play in then in terms of dealing with the realities of history, but also offering an inspiration to younger school-age children, not only to set an example to the boys in school, but also that level of inspiration to the younger girls that are in school? What sorts of programs are designed then to relate this moment in time, this timeline, to them?
Sure. Well, first of all, I think, excuse me, Jennifer is correct in that the exhibit, the 2020 Vision, is so well designed in making those connections and featuring women changemakers of today in our local community. And that in itself is going to be a touch point, I think, like Josh said, for all generations. So I think as we bring in school groups to tour through the exhibit through the springtime, and then I'll be taking Elizabeth Herman, the photographer for Redefining Representation, to Midland High and Dow High and Bullet Creek schools when she's here in town to do some interactive work with them as well. I think setting really just telling that story is the most important piece of what we're doing at the center right now. Because if you don't tell the story, if you don't set the example, if you don't talk about the struggles and then the achievements and then how women have gone on from that, then there's no way for us to know what the past is and what's possible in the future. So for both young boys and girls, we want them to see the work that we're doing here, the work that's been done in the past by women, the work that's currently being done by women in our community, and say, I can do that too. I can pursue a STEM career if I want to. I can pursue a career in the arts. I can pursue a career as a justice or a congressional representative or, you know, do become a social worker or a teacher, whatever their dream is. But unless we have those role models, unless we talk about the struggles and the work that it takes to kind of overcome those barriers, then they're not, you know, the younger generation's not going to really understand where we've come from and then where we can go in the future. So I think it's really important for us to continually tell that story. And that's kind of the whole point of all of these different programs. The 2020 Vision exhibit is to tell those stories and actively start that conversation, because generations, I think, are having a harder and harder time communicating and connecting with each other. And I think this is a great starting point for those conversations. We learn best through storytelling and through sharing personal experiences. And that's what these exhibits and programs are really doing, are sharing those personal experiences and telling those stories. And those are going to stick with us better than any statistic or any report that you read about women in the workplace or whatever that may be. So sharing those personal experiences and stories through these exhibits, through these programs, is really going to hopefully ignite a conversation around a whole variety of issues that we're facing today.
And I think one of my favorite stories throughout the conversation with both of these ladies about developing this is actually from Elizabeth Herman, who is one of the photographers of the Redefining Representation. And the exhibit itself is portraiture of the women of the 116th Congress. And Katie might be able to talk about a little bit about how that came to fruition. It was a 16-page spread in the New York Times, which showcased all the portraits of these women that are in Congress. But the story about how the women came together to be a part of that, I think, is one of the coolest things. I don't know, Katie might be able to tell us more about that.
Sure. The project originally was much smaller. Elizabeth and Celeste Sloman, the other lead photographer on the project, initially went in to just take a few portraits of the new female leadership in Congress that was elected in 2018. However, when the other representatives and senators heard about this project and heard what was happening, they all wanted to be a part of it. So they were actually able to take portraits of all of the women over the course of about 3 days. And it turned into a much larger project than they initially intended or expected it to be. But what makes these portraits so special is that, and what is really striking to me, is that each woman brought something to the table that's very different and reflects their own personality and their own values. So one representative is holding a copy of the Constitution. Another one has her son with her in her portrait because that's an important part of her life as a as an elected representative, is to represent families. Another one is distinctly showing, her it's a beautiful that she's actually a delegate from. from American Samoa. She has this beautiful piece of basically art over her shoulder, which is a indication of leadership in her culture. And so they all brought these incredible pieces with them. And the portraits are incredibly striking. They're very colorful. They really break the mold in terms of what we expect to see when we see a portrait of somebody. You say portrait and you have a specific picture in your mind. But these really kind of turn that on its head and flip the narrative in terms of who we expect to see in a portrait, who we think of as deserving of having a portrait done of them, who we think of as powerful and influential and change making. And so when I found this and I talked to the photographers, I thought, what a beautiful sister exhibit for 2020 Vision, because that contains portraits of over 60 local women and their stories. So they really go hand in hand together. So we're looking visually at images of women that we wouldn't normally get to see. We're learning their stories. We're talking about their achievements in a very different way than we normally talk about women in society.
Jennifer, as you pulled all of this together and started looking for the media, how this would be represented, and the background being I believe you even said historian by trade, independent historian, before we turned on microphones today, and especially focusing in on human and civil rights, Katie made the point about getting away from statistics, but I'm curious in if we look at either the 100 years or pick any arc that you want, if we start looking at this from the focus on women, where have we seen perhaps the greatest representation in some of these expressions in art for an exhibit like this? And maybe where have we seen the most underrepresentation of women? If we start to look at things like from various aspects of the visual arts or the written word, where do you think the contributions have been made and recognized, and for any myriad of reasons, where have we seen the greatest degree of that underrepresentation?
Okay, wow, that was that's a easy question. Thanks.
We don't have to put up charts with exact percentages, but in terms of looking at just in generally where you see as you look at the art from a broad perspective, where you see women making the most of that contribution, and where, again, why the underrepresentation is there.
So we in the exhibit, we try to encompass a lot of different themes, including women work and women in politics, women in arts and storytelling, and women in war. And so there are many different ways we could look at it. I do think that there's both progress and sort of setbacks, if you will. You know, we can be excited about certain progress with recognition, say in the arts or music, as the top of the hour you played the piece. But at the same time, men are still overwhelmingly recognized in nearly every single field. And we do actually provide some of the statistics in women work. We talk a little bit about some of those changes, and also in the war section we talk about changes. Women, it's interesting. There will actually be a companion exhibit that opens this month that just looks at Title IX. And there, I think one of the most fascinating things is starting in the 1980s, women were outperforming men in college and earning more bachelor's degrees. By the 1990s, they are earning more master's degrees, and now they're earning more PhDs, and yet men still earn more money than women in nearly every single field. Men are still in most CEO positions. So when you look at the business world, women are maybe not as well represented there. But then there are great examples, like with the redefining representation showing how many women are now in Congress. Now, it still doesn't percentage-wise reflect the population, but it we have more women representatives than ever before in our whole history. So that's an area where I think we can point to real progress. So I think it's a mixed picture. I don't think we get to just point to something and say it's a lot better there. There is progress across the board, but it's not consistent.
I would say on the art side of things, the media side, in doing these projects, I've been doing a lot of research. I would say media is probably where women have made a lot of progress in terms of representation as reporters, news anchors, of showrunners for television shows. We've made progress in the film industry in terms of women, you know, female representation. But a recent study just came out about the visual arts world, and I would say that's probably where we've made the least progress in terms of female representation. The study showed that women are much less likely to get gallery shows with major and even minor kind of art, visual arts galleries, and their work commands a much lower price than artwork done by men. So in thinking about, you know, theater, other media, and visual arts, I would say visual arts are probably an area we have a lot of progress still to make.
Then how, Jennifer or Katie, do we tell that story enough in a positive way? We talked earlier about, you know, telling the story, putting it up as a positive example and an inspiration for younger girls as they look at their potential and how they'll make their own way in the world. If some of those realities are still very much in place, how do you keep that positive energy in terms of telling the story to inspire them enough to say, don't let anyone tell you differently. You can do this, and this is why, and here are there enough examples that you can hold up there as examples and role models for them?
I think there are plenty of examples that we show. I think one of the things that I like best about the exhibit is that, you know, women are not a monolith, and we show that. So we try to show where there has been progress, where there have been women who haven't had the same vision of progress. And so we try to show the diversity of women, and we try to be as inclusive as possible to that whole story, because all of it's part of our collective history, and we don't want young women to come in and think that there's just this one story that's being told, because there are multiple perspectives. And so I think we don't shy away from the hardships, but by not shying away from that, we're able to show what can be accomplished through determination. You know, women didn't have the right to vote, and they had to convince a nation who had the vote to say, yes, women should have the right to vote. So it shows you what, and we show through that how they worked at it, how they fought for it, how they suffered. And so these, I think, can be inspiring stories that then show young women who come to see it that, yes, things might be hard, and yes, you might have to fight for change, but it is possible, because we're showing you that it did change and that change can still come.
And I think we are finding that exhibits and programs like this that are teaching youth about telling these stories of these women are key. And tomorrow we're actually having a really fun event at the Alden B. Dow Museum of Science and Art, where the exhibit is, and also we'll be having Women's STEM Night, which allows us to celebrate women that are working in STEM fields, particularly in Midland, which is has a lot of STEM careers. And so making sure that we tell young women, youth, adults, that there are opportunities to pursue careers in the STEM fields, and pursuing education in that route is key. And you know, the promotion for this came across an article this past fall from NASA, in that the first all-female spacewalk took place just this past just this past October, which is amazing. And how can we continue to tell those types of stories to young people to help them inspire and dream that they can one day as well be an astronaut? You can work at the Dow Chemical Company as an engineer or a scientist or a chemist. You could, you know, pursue a career as being a doctor or a nurse. And so there's so many opportunities in the STEM field. And I think activities like this in museums such as at the Center for the Arts are key. And that is a strong portion of our work to make sure that we're educating the future leaders of our world with the opportunities that they have and the tools that exist for them to pursue their dreams.
And they get to see who, you know, whose shoulders they're standing on. So for example, in the science section, we actually have photographs of the first group that formed Dow Corning. And there are two women chemists in that photograph. And you can see that. And we carry it all the way forward to a present day woman who grew up in Midland who now works for the Jet Propulsion Lab. So we're showing other Dow scientists as well. And so, you know, we're tying in that idea of, you know, the past laid this foundation that women are continuing to grow upon.
And I don't think it's just about inspiring the future generation. It's about helping adults today also understand kind of what the landscape looks like. So for our Women's STEM Night tomorrow night, we're going to be having hands-on science activities for adults and then also a really great panel conversation with women who are currently working in STEM fields in the region. But the intention of that is to help other adults understand what it's like to be a woman in a STEM field and to give them that kind of information, understand what that landscape is like so they can be better allies and advocates for their peers as well, for their family and friends who might be working in STEM, for their child who's considering going into a STEM field. The more knowledge you have, the better you can advocate and for others to make those changes, to have a better workplace, to have better educational opportunities for our children. So also, I think helping adults understand kind of what that landscape is like is also a big part of what we're doing at the center right now.
A wonderful story to tell and a wonderful story to see. Seeing her story, 2020 Vision. It is the latest exhibit at Midland Center for the Arts. It is has been open since January 25th, runs through April the 26th, midlandcenter.org for all the information regarding not only museum times and chances to see the exhibit as a whole, but all of these additional activities and special events coordinated as a part of it. Curator Jennifer Vanette, Katie Miller, Josh Holliday from Midland Center, thank you all very much for taking the time to share the story, help us tell the story, and for those of us that always do feel that the pictures are better on radio anyway, the chance to see the story here this morning. Good to have you all here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.